One, two, three, four.
There's a place not very far from here,
where the weather's warm, the sky is clear,
where all your worries disappear.
On Chestnut Ridge.
There's a place not very far away,
where the sun sits high in the sky all day.
We've always got a place to stay.
On Chestnut Ridge, Chestnut Ridge. Chestnut Ridge, where the whippoorwills and the buttercup spills, the dewdrops from the night. Chestnut, Chestnut Ridge, where the dragon flies in the morning skies and the cattails out of sight.
Hope you'll stop and say hello
on Chestnut Ridge.
Come along and there we'll be.
The swallows dance the cypress trees.
What happens next? Let's wait and see.
On Chestnut Ridge, Chestnut, Chestnut Ridge, where the meadow larks and the dogwood barks, although it never bites. Chestnut, Chestnut Ridge, where the butterflies in the morning skies and flutters out of sight.
This is the story of the house on Chestnut Ridge, a community of animals who lived happily in harmony. Despite their individual quirks and foibles, idiosyncrasies and eccentricities.
And as it happened one autumn morning, Collier, the streetwise tomcat who had been blind since he was a kitten, gained his eyesight back through a stroke of good fortune. And throughout Chestnut Ridge, there was much elation and celebration.
That evening, they all sat on the Friendship Bridge down by Pressler's Pond with Collier as he watched for the first time the sun set just beyond the hills of Chestnut Ridge.
Things, however, did not stay quite so festive. You see, everyone on Chestnut Ridge had something about them that set them apart.
Friendy Skunk, for instance, did not possess the scent so unique to skunks, and thus sometimes really didn't feel like a skunk at all.
Likewise, Ross Rabbit had ears that didn't stand up like other rabbits, but rather ears that drooped and flopped about his head.
Argus, the old terrier, had lost a leg as a pup. Portia Pig was, well, sometimes she could be rather pushy, and at times even somewhat meddlesome, which could often be a bit much for the others.
And Grandma Owl, the house elder, was a wise old owl. But sometimes the rest of the world was in such a hurry that it didn't have time to listen to the wisdom Grandma Owl had to offer.
Yet all of these differences united the animals on Chestnut Ridge into a community of individuals, each treasured for his or her own unique qualities that made each of them special to the Chestnut Ridge family. Even the Packer Rats, the musical rodents residing beneath the porch, had found a home, despite their rat status. Because, you see, Chestnut Ridge is a place where anything is possible. A place where everyone is welcome.
Collier, however, had always been blind ever since he was a kitten.
And now he could see, which began to cause problems because Collier began to see the differences in the other animals as flaws instead of virtues.
Then, one morning, as everybody was gathered around the picnic table awaiting brunch, Collier, who was very hungry, became very impatient. And eventually, everything erupted when Collier simply didn't get his way.
That's it! I can't take any more of this!
Any more of what?
Said Argus, who had grown tired of Collier's attitude.
This whole motley crew of critters. Just look at yourselves. Bunch of misfits. Just look at you.
Look at you. You swill slugging, mud-loving swine. Look at you. Always acting so refined. Look at you. Imposing your presence all the time. Look at you. You're intrusive, obtrusive, the most meddlesome I've seen. Look at you. Look at you.
Look at you. You flippin' three-legged hound. Look at you. Yeah, you're always hopping around. Look at you. They should have left you in a pound. Look at you.
You're bumbling, stumbling, the slowest on the team. Look at you.
Look at you. Look at you.
You knock your trash a little skunk. Look at you. You should smell like a hundred thump. Look at you. A skunk is never stunk.
Look at you.
You're not offensive, reprehensive. There's no identity. Look at you.
Just look at you.
Everyone sat there silent and stunned. No one ate. Nobody looked up from his or her plate. No one knew what to say or do, for they had never been so put down before, especially by someone they considered a friend. Then Portia pushed her chair away from her place at the table and marched over toward Collier, shoving a knuckle in his chest, propelling him back into his place.
"Listen here, you little cat. I don't need the likes of you telling me I'm meddlesome. Who do you think you are? A street-splattered little wretch of a cat telling me I'm intrusive? Of course, I'll admit maybe I am somewhat audacious, perhaps a bit overwhelming at times. But what do you expect? I am a pig, after all.
I'm a pig, and I'm proud. I am big, I am brass, I am loud. I'm a pig, I'm a swine. I am brash, I am bold, I'm divine. I'm a pig, so petite, and a sow's life is ever so sweet. I'm a pig, so Rubenesque, and it's something I don't feel is grotesque. I'm a pig, and I'm proud. I am big, I am brass, I am loud. I'm a pig, I am a swine. I am brash, I am bold, I'm divine. I'm a pig, so rotund, and every day a better pig I become. I'm a pig, and I assert that from time to time I lounge in the dirt. I'm a pig, I am proud. I am big, I am brass, I am loud. I'm a pig, I'm a swine. I am brash, I am bold, I'm divine. I'm a pig, and so I say, I prefer porcine life in every way. I'm a pig, and will not blush. I love life money, and mushy, and lush. I'm a pig, and I'm proud. I'm a swine, I am brash, I am bold, I'm divine. I'm a pig, I'm a swine, I am brash, I am bold, I'm divine. I am brash, I am bold, I am divine. Don't let the gate slam on your tail as you leave.
Collier did leave the house on Chestnut Ridge, packing his things in a pouch and venturing off to exactly where, he didn't know. He walked all afternoon and into the evening, his restored eyesight leading him faithfully. Yet as night approached, it started to rain, and Collier began feeling hungry and tired, lost and alone. And even though streetwise tomcats aren't accustomed to being afraid, Collier was beginning to feel somewhat scared, for he had never been off on his own like this before. As it started to rain, the lightning grew more intense, the thunder grew louder, and the rain fell harder. Suddenly there was a huge crash of thunder, and the darkened sky filled with light, and then another crash followed. So Collier found himself a small hollow in which to ride out the storm. And he sat up and waited through the night and early morning hours. And after a while, the rain stopped. Then the thunder rolled away into the distance. Yet as the night wore on, it gradually became clear to Collier that he could no longer see. That once again he was blind. The eyesight that had been given him had now been taken away. And as Collier began to fully realize this, and as he realized how far away from home he was, how alone he was, he began to cry.
One morning, while Grandma Owl was picking boysenberries in the patch down by Meadow Lane, she thought she heard a rustling in the brush. She stopped and listened, and heard the rustling again. She moved closer, and there she saw Collier, shivering in a pile of leaves. He had tried to find his way back to the house, to find his way home again.
Collier?
Said Grandma Owl gently. Collier awoke with a start.
Grandma Owl, is that you? Oh, Grandma, I'm so sorry for the things I said to you. I'm so sorry.
Oh, there. Everything will be all right. I'm here now.
I can't see you, Grandma. I've lost my sight again.
Grandma Owl's heart sank.
Oh, Collier, I'm so sorry.
No, Grandma, I'm the one who should be sorry. I was given the gift of my sight, and what did I do? I see the wrong things. I see the glass half empty instead of half full. I see flaws in everybody else instead of their beauty.
I should have seen the smiles that lit the darkened skies. I should have seen the beauty lighting up their eyes. I should have seen the friendship and what it truly means. I can see more clearly now the things I should have seen. I should have seen the gestures that blossom from the heart. I should have seen the tenderness they showed me from the start. I should have seen the friendship and what it truly means. I can see more clearly now the things I should have.
Grandma Owl took Collier under her wing and guided him home. For the other animals on Chestnut Ridge, however, being forgiving did not come so easily. So no one said anything. No one acknowledged Collier's presence, nor the apology he offered. Rather, they all just turned away and ignored him.
There were breakfasts and brunches and morning walks and picnic lunches, and everyone was invited, except for Collier. There was kite flying and kickball games and floating in Pressler's pond, and everyone joined in, except for Collier. There was storytelling and tree climbing and stargazing, and no one ever invited Collier to come along. Even the packer rats would hold their daily jam sessions, yet they no longer asked Collier to join in. And when rats start to shun you, you know you've got problems.
then, one day late in the fall, the crew was planning for the annual Harvest Festival hayride and beach party held down by the big river.
It was the last celebration before the snows, and everybody would be there, and everyone on the ridge was packing blankets and picnic baskets, gathering kickballs and kites, tuning up musical instruments, and dusting off old stories. And still, no one invited Collier to come along.
Then, just before they left, Ross Rabbit turned toward Collier.
Well, man, are you just going to sit there, or are you coming along with us?
Everyone was shocked by the invitation, most of all Collier, who could feel the stares of the others on him as his face heated up with embarrassment. The other animals weren't certain that they wanted Collier along. They'd been hurt by him and weren't sure they could forgive the things he'd said about them, much less forget the way he treated them.
But Ross disagreed.
Certainly you can't forgive, and surely you can't forget. All you need do is put a new song in your heart and let it just dash away the doubts that may continue to linger.
This one selection from Ross Rabbit's collection. You sure reggae music we have played.
About it for a time. Could they forgive? And if they did forgive, could they forget? What if they were going about their business one day and suddenly, out of nowhere, the memories of the hurt popped into their head? What would they do then? What would they do?
Think of the good times, perhaps. Think about the sunsets they had described to Collier, or the walks they had taken, or the stories and the laughter they had shared. But would it be enough? Could they truly forget?
Yes, we can forget, said Argus on behalf of the others.
I accept your apology, Collier. I do forgive you.
Really, Argus? You mean it?
Yes, I do. You're my friend. And friends sometimes have a falling out, but a friendship should be stronger than any old falling out. And the fact of the matter is, I've missed you. So come on. We've got a festival to go to. But who knows what might happen?
They say it's darkest before the dawn. You've got to keep on keeping on.
Why?
You know the morning's gonna come along. It's gonna sing you a brand new song. Yeah. They say it's darkest before the dawn. You've got to keep on keeping on. You know the morning's gonna come along. It's gonna sing you a brand new song. Yeah.
Stopped on by
to share a song in morning sky.
Hear the birds sing in reply
on Chestnut Ridge.
We're so glad you came along.
Excuse us, we don't mean to bond.
But with friends like you, we can't go wrong
on Chestnut Ridge. Chestnut Ridge, where the whippoorwills and the buttercups fills the dew drops from the night. Chestnut Ridge. Where the dragon flies in the morning skies and kite tails out of sight.
We're so glad you happened past.
Our time together went so fast.
The memories will always last
of Chestnut Ridge.
So glad you stopped on in.
For a slice of smile, a classic grin.
Hope you'll all stop back again.
To Chestnut Ridge, Chestnut Ridge. Where the meadow larks and the dogwood barks, although it never bites. Chestnut Ridge. Where the butterflies in the morning skies and flutters out of sight.